Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTay along with Charlie Long in studio. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Slareff, host of the Stinking Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Before we start talking a little Super Bowl talk, I don't know how much interaction you've had with Kellen Moore, but I'd like to get your thoughts on him. Saints flew out to Philly yesterday to talk to him about the opening with the Saints as a head coach. And your thoughts on Kellen Moore. And the one thing I give him a lot of credit, I always thought he threw the football. He was a little bit too cutesy throwing the football at some other places. But this year, he knew what he had with that offensive line and Saquon, and they beat people up in the trenches. Now, if Kellen Moore could bring their offensive line and Saquon and Hurts and the receivers, hey, I'd call it a deal. But that doesn't happen that way. He adjusted his system to the players that he had in Philly. Now, give him full credit for that.
Yeah, he did a great job with that. And obviously, when you got Saquon, and as good as that guy is, but you know, let's face it, you know, the Giants couldn't figure it out. And yeah, and the Philadelphia Eagles, I mean, let's face it, they're one of the most talented, you know, top to bottom rosters in the National Football League without question. And you know, I've gotten a lot of questions about this Kansas City versus Philly. I mean, what Kansas City has is great coaching, right? They've got Andy Reid, they've got Steve Spagnuolo, and of course they've got Patrick Mahomes. So you know, check mark, check mark, check mark in their box. But when you talk about rosters, offensive line goes to Philly. You talk about the running back goes to Philly. You talk about the wide receiver, tight end positions go to Philly. I give the D-line, the linebackers, and the secondary all to Philly. They got the number one defense in football. So with that said, Kellen Moore has done a great job of utilizing the players that are at his disposal and saying, yeah, you know what, I've been known as a passing coach, but how in the world would I have the best offensive line, the biggest, strongest dudes, and the best running back in football? I'd be a moron not to use that. And so I'll give him a ton of credit for going in that direction. Kudos to him.
One of the things, too, I'll flip it here. Man, Buffalo had such success running the ball, you know, for almost three quarters. And then I think Joe Brady unplugged it. He was like, okay, Josh, go win us the game throwing the ball. My thing is, Kansas City's still trying to stop the run. With that offensive line the Bills had, and they were really good this year, and James Cook running the ball, Mark, it kind of perplexed me. Why did you get away from that, especially in crunch time?
Yeah, it's one of my biggest questions about the Bills coaching staff. You know, I go back to last year. They were kicking the Chiefs' ass in the divisional round. And they were running the snot out of the ball. And then all of a sudden, Chiefs make a little bit of a comeback. And it's almost as though the coaching staff quits coaching and says, "Go, hey, Josh, go win it for us. Hey, Josh," you know, they're not running the tush-push correctly. They're not doing a very good job with it. They miss it a couple times. And yet they keep going back to it. And, you know, that last drive, they get the ball with 3:23 left, right? I mean, that I think it was 3:20, maybe it was 3:25. But they get the ball with, you know, needing a field goal to tie it, a touchdown to win the damn thing with 3 minutes left. And the very first run of the game, they just come off of Kansas City putting a drive together and kicking a field goal. The very first run of the game of that drive, goes to Ty Johnson, their backup running back. James Cook's not in the game.
I don't get it.
And I'm like, well, is he hurt? What happened? Like, so did something happen? Then he comes in the next game, the next couple of plays. He's in the backfield. So wait a minute. You ran it down their throat. You had one drive that went 11 plays, and 10 of them were runs, I believe. And you had like eight straight runs in a row. And yet, wait a minute. They went on a drive. Kansas City did. You come back in the first run of that drive is a negative 1 yard run to Ty Johnson, your backup. Now, you know, you sit there and say, okay, well then on second down, you know, that Josh Allen converts it on a scramble and we're right back in business. But you got the ball with 3 minutes and change left. You had a chance to win the football game and you essentially take a dump in your helmet. You guys, from a coaching staff standpoint, from a player standpoint, you can't execute. And, you know, I'll go to, they've got a touchdown on a first down. They're in a bunch formation and they run bubble screen and go. And Shakir gets locked up with a middle linebacker. Now they're in dime, so it's a DB, but they're locked up in a split safety look with a middle linebacker. All you got to do is run down the middle. Tony Romo says, well, Josh Allen threw it away. No, he didn't. He was throwing the go. He was throwing the seam go between the two safeties, and Shakir stopped. And you're like, you're matched up with split safeties and one-on-one with a middle linebacker. Like, that's a touchdown. What are you doing? Like, what in the world are you doing? So critical moments, and this is the difference between the Chiefs and the Bills, critical moments, the Chiefs coaching staff knows exactly what to do, how to do it, and they've got the players to execute it. Critical moments, the Bills coaching staff folds. They wilt like a summer in the flower, or a flower in the summer heat, and their players can't execute. And then on fourth down and five, you get turn protection to the left. So you're protected to the left. You're sliding your protection to the left. The only place that you can get beat is a blitz from the right-hand side. Kansas City blitz from the right-hand side, meaning that Spagnuolo knows exactly what you're doing, and he attacks your protection at its weakest point, and you roll right into the blitz. Now, Kincaid should have caught the pass, right? It's a fourth down and five. But if Josh Allen just rolls away from the blitz, he buys himself some time and he sees Shakir on the swing pass. And that goes for a touchdown. So you had two plays that could have been potential touchdowns, at least long games, and put you in field goal range. And you don't, as a football team, execute on either of those things. So we can sit and piss and moan about officiating and say Kansas City gets, you know, an unfair advantage. And we can say whatever we want about any of that stuff. But the bottom line is when push came to shove, the Buffalo Bills had it trickle down their legs.
Yep.
And the Kansas City Chiefs didn't.
Insider Calls with Mark Slerfer, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Charlie?
Yeah, just before we move on to the NFC Championship game here, Mark, I mean, there's not too much to say about that, but we'll get to it in just a second. You know, James Cook not getting a touch in any of the final six plays was kind of baffling to me, given he was averaging 6.5 yards per carry, two touchdowns in the game. It almost reminded me a little bit, not as bad as what it was last year's AFC Championship game where the Ravens just kind of abandoned the run when it mattered most. You know, some of these teams just try to out Mahomes, and it just never really works, does it? And so it's really unfortunate. Buffalo falls short once again, fourth straight loss to Kansas City in the postseason. But as you mentioned, you know, the coaching staff has a lot to do with that. And Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator, I mean, James Cook was not given a single touch in that final six-play drive that ended up basically ending the game. But I don't think you're going to see that with Kellen Moore and Saquon Barkley in the Super Bowl. So that's going to be something I'm intrigued.
No, if he doesn't get 25 or more carries, I'd be shocked.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I agree with you guys on that. You're 100% right about, you know, about the coaching stuff, you know, and sometimes I think we tend to forget. I mean, let's face it. You know, we talk about offensive genius and this, that, and the other, which the offense or just football and genius are mutually exclusive events. We're a bunch of PE majors, all right? Like, you know, I got paid handsomely for 12 years to put a thin piece of plastic on my head and slam into other people. There's no genius involved. And ultimately, we make the game a lot more complicated than it really is. You know, I think about you know, the how we talk about quarterbacks, and I'm not saying it's not a hard job, but we're putting somebody in conflict. Hey, man, we're running some type of pin concept, you know, a post and an in, right? If the safety plays low on the in route, throw the post. If the safety plays high on the post, throw the in. It's not rocket science, right? Hey, man, we're putting the curl flat defender in conflict. If the curl flat defender plays low on the flat, throw the curl. If he plays high on the curl, throw the flat. It, like, we make it like, ooh, it's so complicated. All these quarterbacks are freaking geniuses. They're not, right? It's not like, I get that it's hard, but we make it out to be this unbelievable complex. And one of the things I love about football is kind of the juxtaposition of simplicity and complexity, right? We try to make it look as complicated as possible, but it's a simple game. And when push comes to shove, you know what wins? Being more physical than your opponent. That's what wins. I mean, the physicality makes cowards of everybody, right? And if you just lean on people, it's amazing not only how good you can be, but how exhausted the other team gets and how many, all of a sudden, that equates to missed tackles, missed opportunities, missed assignments, all those things. So you're right about Saquon. Listen, man, give that guy his touches. And this is what I'll say about Kellen Moore. He's given him his touches. He understands that 8-man boxes, we know how to run. That doesn't deter us. We're going to give it to our guy because we're either going to block the line of scrimmage and get to the second level and create space, or we're going to block the line of scrimmage and Saquon Barkley's going to do a jump hook or jump cut when two guys get into one hole, and he's going to be out the gate. And when he gets out the gate to the second level, there ain't any safety in football that can run with that dude. And so they know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, it's a lot of Ole moves to get out of his way or just trying to hang on, so to speak. Mark, playing offensive line like you did for so many years, I was talking to Pete Jenkins about this yesterday. And, you know, Pete always watching defensive linemen. He said, Mike, right now, best defensive tackle in pro football is Jalen Carter. He said a lot of people would give that nod to Chris Jones. But he said Carter gets the nod. He plays the run much better than Chris. And he pointed out a lot of times in obvious running situations, Chris is watching on the sidelines. He's not playing. He said, but look at Carter. They don't take him out. Now, every once in a while he gets a breather, but he said, look how he plays the run. Now, he said he's not quite the pass rusher Chris Jones is because he's special as a big man to rush the quarterback. But he said all-around game, he said, I really believe Jalen Carter is the best defensive tackle in pro football today.
Mark, he's got the meanest of mean streaks, too. You watch that dude play, he is nasty with it.
Yeah, there is no question about that. Like, Jalen Carter, the other thing is, I think Jalen Carter, over the course of the playoffs, has played like 98% of the snaps on defense.
Yep.
I mean, he doesn't come out of the game. Dude is a game wrecker, and I'm with you. I think he's playing better than anybody else. Now, the one thing that Chris Jones gives you the advantage of is you can put him in multiple positions. So you can go, okay, where's our weak link? Or if we want to lock him up on one weak link on the offensive line and then walk up linebackers, so you have to go, you know, you have to come make a mingo call. Mingo, mingo, meaning man. We got to go man to man. Now, Chris Jones can you know, dispense justice on that particular guy. But you're talking about the Philadelphia Eagles, and there is no weakness. As a matter of fact, their starting center has a back spasm or something before the game. They dress him. He doesn't play. They're all pro, all everything. Left guard moves to center. He hurts his knee. During that time, they have a backup left guard that I don't even know who the guy is. And I'm watching him play going, damn, that guy could start on just about any team in the league. That dude can play. And then all of a sudden, they're all pro center. They're all pro left guard who's playing center gets hurt. And they're all pro center comes back in and plays the back injury, and they don't miss a skip or a beat, you know, with that left guard that's a backup playing. And, you know, and Saquon Barkley has over 100 yards the first run of the game. They get a little crack toss out the left-hand side, and he goes 60 yards for a touchdown. I mean, they are incredible. So there are no weak links. And so if I go flip side of that, Jalen Carter versus Kansas City, like they're pretty good as well. But those two guards inside, you can exploit both of those guys because Tooney moved out to the left tackle position. And so there are opportunities there for Jalen Carter to kind of do his business against that Kansas City offensive line.
Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always love to have you on and great insights. We appreciate it, and I hope to see you next week here in the Big Easy.
Thank you, my friend. Take care.
All righty. That was Mark Schlereff. Does a great job each and every week, and he's our Odyssey NFL insider and host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious.